Good morning. Let's go ahead and take this time to dismiss the children that will be going to Noah's Park. Adventures in Learning. I'm glad they were able to participate in our worship time this morning. What an incredible time of worship. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and those that were responsible for preparing us for that time of the worship service this morning. And I pray that our worship will continue this morning as we get into God's Word. So let's just go to Him in prayer right now. Father God, I love You, and I only love You because You love me first. So Father, thank You for bringing me to that position. Thank You for bringing those that are here today that have experienced Your love and in return loved You back and surrendered their lives to You. Thank You for bringing them here today, and thank You for bringing them to that condition. Father, I just pray that You will lead us through the rest of this time of worship in Your Word, and that, Father, that You will lead us to brokenness as we consider Your Word and what You want to bring to our heart and our minds. Father, I pray that You will position us such a way that we will leave changed. And that, Father, that we'll be obedient to Your Word and that we'll go out into a world doing the task that You called us to as Your followers. Father, as You lead, we'll follow. And I just pray this in Your name. Amen. Again, thank you for an incredible expression of worship this morning, Pastor Jeff, and those that put together this picture that we get of the Passion of Christ. We just witnessed an example of one of the parts of the most important events in history. Jesus dying on the cross, paying the wages of all the sins of the world. For the most part, that's not what the people were expecting. Nor was it what they were wanting. When you think about it and get into God's Word, that's not what they were expecting, and it's certainly not what they were wanting. We don't always get what we want, do we? I was trying to help Landon out. I've got a Landon story. Is that okay, buddy? That's a good one. He was, his teacher was giving him what they call yellows. And that's not good. Green is good. Yellow is not good. And red, well, we don't want to go there. And so I set a goal for him. I said, man, if you get 5 days in a row of greens, then we'll get a slushy magic. Now, slushy magic, if you've seen the commercial, it's this magic cup that you put these cubes in it. You freeze these cubes, you put them in it, and then put whatever beverage you want in there and then tie it on and shake it up, and it turns into what we call an icy or a slushy. And so when I told Landon, I said, man, I'll tell you what, you get 5 green days in a row, and we'll go get one of those slushy magics. And he said, yep, they're $14.99. So every day, I said, Landon, on the way to school, Landon, think slushy magic. Or when he got up and was giving me a kiss goodbye, I said, Landon, slushy magic, green, 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 slushy magic, green, green, green. So finally, the day came whenever he got his 5th green day in a row. It didn't come easily, did it, buddy? But you worked hard and you did the best that you could, and got 5 green days in a row. And so that day I picked him up from school and he said, I got a green day. That's 5 green days in a row, $14.99. Let's go to Walgreens. Because they sell the as you seen on TV stuff. And we had seen one in this Walgreens, and we go to the Walgreens that we'd seen the slushy magic in, and nope. They didn't have the slushy magic anymore. We'd just seen one 3 days earlier, and I, oh man, and my heart was broken. And And Landon, who we have this deal that we remind each other to always look on the bright side, said, well, let's look on the bright side, Dad. Now, he's the one that worked so hard for the slushy magic, and I was the one that, oh, man, I so badly wanted to reward him for his effort, you know, and they didn't have one. He said, look on the bright side, Dad. There's other Walgreens. So we go to another Walgreens, and sure enough, they had like 24 slushy magic stacked up right in the front door. We grab our slushy magic, pay our $14.99 plus Uncle Sam's tax, and we get out there and we go freeze those ice cubes. He still had to wait another 24 hours before he experienced his first slushy magic, but he at least got his slushy magic. But Landon, this thing that we have about looking on the bright side of things is very good for us to do, to always look on the bright side of things, isn't it? And as we look at this, what we experience today, this Jesus dying on the cross, which is part of the most important event in history, what was demonstrated was only a picture of what happened. Had we been there and had we been part of the crowd as Jesus came through the crowd, another thing that we would have experienced was Jesus' aroma. We would have been able to smell Jesus. Now, some of you, before I finish this thought and where I want to take you, are probably thinking, oh, my. But just a couple days earlier, Mary had anointed Jesus with very expensive oil-based perfume. And then she took her hair and she cleaned Jesus' feet with her hair and that perfume. Now, this was an oil-based perfume, an oil-based fragrance that would have been with Jesus several days after it would have been placed on his body. And anybody that was in that room, understand that she poured the whole bottle on Jesus, and that room was filled with the aroma of that perfume. And anybody that had embraced Jesus from that point on probably would have that aroma on them. What an incredible picture we get for Palm Sunday when Jesus is going through the crowd with the aroma of a king, as they shout and praise Him. Let me just share with you some things from that experience. Jesus clarified that one act of the story. He spoke, He said, she did it to prepare me for my burial. But that is the other part. He didn't even have to speak. They would have known this because of their culture and life experiences, that it wasn't just that she was preparing him for burial. That is something he needed to say. He didn't need to say the other part. And that is that she also acknowledged who she believed Jesus to be. She was proclaiming him as the Messiah. The Messiah translates to the Anointed One. That's royalty. And this was common. This was a common ceremony used to set someone apart as king. Instead of being presented with a crown, he would be anointed with an oil-based fragrance that would stick with him for miles and days. Look at Songs of Song if you want to. I'm just going to read this one passage, but Song of Songs 3:6-7. Who is this coming up from the desert like a column of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and incense, made from the spices of the merchant? Look, it is Solomon's carriage, escorted by 60 warriors, the noblest of Israel. So when Solomon Conan, the king, the son of David, the new king, when he was coming, they smelled him first. And it was a good smell. It smelled like royalty. So what does this mean? What did What did the people experience? Well, during a royal procession, the fragrance would inform the crowds that the king is passing by. That the king is passing by. So let's move that up to when Jesus was coming into town on a donkey, by the way. What did they see? What did they smell? What did they experience? What did they acknowledge? The king was passing by. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 38 through 40, Solomon was anointed with this perfume, and the trumpet sounded, and all the people shouted, "Long live the king! Hosanna! Blessed is the king of Israel!" What were they shouting when Jesus came into town? On the same streets, by the way. Now on the same streets, the people were proclaiming Jesus as the promised Son of David. So you can imagine what people were experiencing. They were seeing prophecy being fulfilled as Jesus was on the same streets that Solomon was on, smelling the same way that Solomon smelled. So from generation to generation, as they read these scriptures and were told of the coming Messiah, that they saw the Messiah, they saw the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the King of Kings." What a glorious day that was. But on the other hand, they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get what they were looking for. They didn't get what they were expecting, after all, did they? Because those same people that were screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise be to the King," were also the same people that were shouting, "Put Him on the cross. Put Him on the cross." Because they were not getting what they expected. They were disappointed. I want to lead you to a passage today that I think will prepare our hearts to be positioned before the throne as we should be day to day, day after day. Luke 9:23, if you will. And that's where we're going to be this morning for the majority of the service. Luke 9:23. I got to say that growing up in the church and when I would hear this verse being read or taught on, I think I got so caught up in just the verse itself that I never heard a word that was being taught or preached because it was hard for me to maybe I should have listened. Maybe I would have understood it better. But if you have a mind like mine, like the day that it was raining in here, you remember that day that the raindrops were falling from the sky in here, and what most of you heard was, what I heard was kaplash, kaplash. I mean, it's just the way my mind works. So something can distract me. Sometimes people will be reading scripture and I'll get caught on one verse and I'll just hang out there. And everybody else would have left me behind. So I'm just kind of hanging right there. Some of you might have a mind like that, but this verse right here, when we would be taught on this verse, I would have trouble getting beyond this. So if they read anywhere beyond that, I wasn't listening. I was just focused on this. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And it's like, take up his cross daily. But Jesus died on the cross. Did He not die on the cross so that I would not have to die on the cross? These are the things that would be going through my mind. So today I just want to take time and just kind of walk through this one verse and see what it is that God is calling us to do, what it is that God is asking of us, what it is God is requiring of us. What He expects of someone that follows Him. So if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. So to deny himself, let's start there. What does it mean to deny himself? We know that in Luke 14 that he says, unless you are willing to hate your father, mother, brother, sister, and some other people, I think, and yes, even your own life, then you're not worthy to follow me. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. That one was another one that would like, you want me to love my enemies, but you want me to hate my dad. Okay, I need help here, Lord. Walk me through this. So, loving Jesus more than my father is what he requires of me. Even loving Jesus more than my father's own life is what God requires of me. Even loving Jesus and what Jesus asks of me, even more than my own life, is what God is requiring of me. Is what it takes. And it goes in to count the cost of what it is to follow me. So you're denying your own life. You're denying, you may be denying some of your dreams. You might be denying, willing to abandon some of your thoughts. But willing to love Jesus more than yourself. And more than the earth that you live in. We were camping out. I camped out with the boys from the youth group yesterday, Friday night. And we set up tents. And I reminded them that these tents are temporary. We're here just temporary. One of them said, but I really like these tents. I could live here. Too many of us are like that with our lives here. We're so in love with the place that we live here, we don't even realize it as an alien nation. We want to live in the tent that is temporary. When God has a building for us with many rooms, very established, very eternal, and it will not be destroyed. See, we forget as we live in this earth and get caught up in this world that this earth that we live in is going to be destroyed. It's going to be purified. It's going to be cleansed with fire. Don't get too attached because it ain't going to last. So to deny ourselves is to not deny our connection with this planet that we live on, to deny to not be rooted in the world, but to be rooted in Jesus Christ. That we love Christ more than we love ourselves. That we love Christ more than we love our own life. Matter of fact, if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was first sermon, you remember that? You got the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, if you get on in, by the way, that's a long sermon. Not quite as long as mine's going to be today. No, just kidding. So you get to Matthew chapter 6, after he just talked about love for your enemies, and then he goes into giving to the needy and the heart in which we need to give. Then he goes into praying, what praying is about, and then fasting, to not fast where everybody knows that you're fasting, to do it privately so that it's more personal with you and Jesus Christ. It's not something that we should be advertising. It's something that we should do eternal because we're not boasting about ourselves. It's we fast because we want to be broken before Christ. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Christ. It's denying myself for what Christ has in store for me. And then he goes into treasures in heaven. And we end up storing these treasures storing treasures here on earth rather than storing treasures in heaven. And God says, change that right now. Because this is not going to last. This is just temporary. Things can be destroyed here. Don't put confidence in the things that can be destroyed here. but put your confidence in heaven. So do the things that are going to be eternal, the things that were going to last. And then he gets to this part that I want to just share with you. This is one thought going forward. It's not broken up into sections like it is by our titles in our Bible. But he goes on to say, you know, that the eye is the lamp of the body, and eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be good. In other words, if your eye is satisfied with Jesus Christ, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. If the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that emptiness? How great is that emptiness? And he goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. You're either going to serve yourself or you're going to serve me. If you're serving yourself, then money is going to be important. That's one example that he gave in that specific passage. You cannot serve both God and money. But then he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more important than food, and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Like, stop worrying about your own life. Stop being so rooted in this world that we live in. Deny yourself. There's something greater than you out there. And it's Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this. In verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that something? He's telling us that we can expect something to happen in our life every day. Trouble. In their country song called Trouble. Maybe they get it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're wishing their trouble away. I don't know. But there's one thing that is for sure, and Jesus tells us this. Stop worrying about your life, because every day has enough trouble of its own. And if you're worried about yourself, if you're numero uno in your life, then your trouble is going to be so much bigger than Him that you're not going to see a way out of it. If you're so caught up in yourself and your own, and seeking pleasures for yourself, then there's even going to be more troubles. But one thing that Jesus guarantees in this message, when he's preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle of it, he says, each day is going to have enough trouble of its own. Each day. So that is something daily that's going to happen in your life, every day of your life. Now, where you are positioned before the throne is how you're going to acknowledge that trouble. Either the trouble is going to be huge because you're not positioned humbly before the throne of God, or the trouble is going to seem like just part of life, just something that happens because you're positioned rightly before the throne of God. Humbly before the throne of God, and you're aiming to please Him and not yourself. It's such a huge difference than when we go through life trying to please ourselves as to when we're trying to please God. There are greater rewards when we're trying to please God. Denying self is that denying your own life. My life is no longer important except in Jesus Christ. And then he says, to pick up your cross. And this is the one that always got me. I don't need a cross, right? Because Jesus died on the cross for me. Pick up your cross. Well, it's dying to yourself. It's recognizing what He told Ezekiel when He said, I'm going to remove your heart of stone and give you a new heart. He's making you a new creation. So it's dying to yourself, receiving the new life that God has given you. Receiving the new call, and then go to the cross, where that happened, where that took place. And what do you see at the cross? You see that Jesus engaged with people. Jesus was, He would forgive people. He was forgiving people. He was empowering people at the cross. He was embracing people at the cross. When Jesus was dying on the cross, it says He was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And a lot of times we just read that once. You know, a better way to read that is to read that verse over and over and over again, because that's exactly what was happening on the cross as people were casting lots for His clothes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As people just stood idly by, just with no emotion, no brokenness at all. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As people were mocking Him and hurling insults at Him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you realize what happened on the cross, that Jesus Christ offered forgiveness for all the sins of the world, according to 1 John? All the sins of the world. Not one sin was left out. I love the arguments that we try to get into to figure out what sin was left out. Either you believe God's Word or you don't, and God's Word says, all the sins of the world. All the sins of the world. Embrace God's Word. Make it part of your life. Believe in it. And live like you believe in it. All the sins of the world. So what does that mean for us when we pick up our cross? That we should be engaged with people. You know that our relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't just happen in the privacy of our living room or our bedroom. Our relationship with Jesus Christ happens right here as we engage with others. As we invest in the life of others. I don't know your name, ma'am. Elba, nice to meet you today. This is where our relationship with Jesus Christ happens. It happens as we engage and show love and grace to one another. It doesn't happen with me way up here behind that big pulpit. It happens with me out here. Isn't that right, buddy? Picking up our cross. And we recognize what was Jesus doing on the cross. He was dying for others. It was all about others. Not a single moment was about Him. Well, it turns out everything is about Him and His glory. But what He tells me when I pick up my cross, it's about Him. My life is not about me, but it's about Him. And what does He want me to do with my life? He wants me to engage with others. He wants me to recognize the needs of others. He wants for me to recognize when someone is hurting. He wants me to recognize when someone is celebrating. Except it's not here right there. But when someone is celebrating, and to celebrate with them. But the thing is, man, if we are worried about our own life, if we're storing up treasures for ourselves, man, there's going to be no room for forgiveness. There's going to be no room for me to be engaged in your life. There's going to be no room for me to invest in your life. There's going to be no room for no one but you. No room for no one but you. What a terrible life that would be. And then he says to follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Wherever you lead, I'll go is one of the songs we sing, isn't it? Except there. Oh, wait, not over there. I really don't really like that guy. Please don't make me go over there. Oh, don't make me go over there because I got a really busy schedule this day. Oh, but we were saving up for a new addition to the house, so don't make me do that. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, but just remember our plans for our life. Remember our plans for our family. Remember our plans for this, unless you are willing to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son, yes, even your own life. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How many people come to church and leave disappointed? Oh, I didn't get fed today. I didn't get much out of that. I really didn't like the worship. And when we say that, we're talking about music, by the way. I don't like the songs Jeff selected this week. Whatever the case may be, because we come like the rich young ruler that was coming. He ran to Jesus. He did the right thing by running to Jesus. But he ran to Jesus with the wrong expectations. Because it was about him and not Jesus. And when Jesus gave him instructions, he left disappointed. The next time you leave church disappointed, I recommend that you go home, you look in the mirror, because that is the reason you were disappointed. It wasn't the music that was selected. It wasn't the sermon that was preached. It wasn't the people that didn't speak to you or spoke to you in a weird way. It's because you went with the wrong expectations. See this cross? Now, we've made it pretty. This one's not that pretty, thank goodness. I'm glad we didn't make this one pretty, but we've made it pretty in our life, haven't we? It's jewelry. We've made it pretty. But the cross was never meant to be pretty. Nope. It's the place where we die. And life no longer is about me, but about Jesus Christ. Let me read this story, and I'm done. Once upon a time, in the heart of the Western Kingdom lay a beautiful garden. And there in the cool of the day, the master of the garden was to walk. Of all the, I don't know what that word is, of all the plants in the garden, the most beautiful and most beloved was gracious and noble bamboo. Year after year, bamboo grew. Yet more noble and gracious, conscious of his master's love and watchful delight, but modest and gentle withal. And often, when the wind came to revel in the garden, bamboo would cast aside his grave stateliness to dance and to play merrily, tossing and swaying and leaping and bowing and in joyous abandon, leading the great dance of the garden, which most delighted the master's heart. Now once upon a day, the master himself drew near to contemplate his bamboo with eyes of curious expectancy. And bamboo, in a passion of adoration, bowed his great head to the ground in loving greeting. The master spoke, "Bamboo, bamboo, I would use you." Bamboo flung his head to the sky in utter delight. The day of days had come, and the day which he had been made, the day to which he had been growing hour by hour, the day in which he would find his completion and his destiny. His voice came low, "Master, I'm ready. Use me as thy will." "Bamboo," the master voice was grave. I would have to take you and cut you down. A trembling and great horror shook Bamboo. Cut me down? Me? Thou, master, hast made the most beautiful in all of the garden. Cut me down? Oh, not that, not that. Use me for the joy. Use me for the glory, oh, master. But don't cut me down. Beloved master voice grew graver still. If I cut you not down, I cannot use you. The garden grew still. Wind held his breath. Bamboo slowly bent his proud and glorious head. There was a whisper. Master, if thou cannot use me other than to cut me down, then do thy will and cut. Bamboo, beloved bamboo, I would cut your leaves and branches from you also. Master, spare me, cut me down and lay my beauty in the dust, but would thou also have to take from me my leaves and branches too? Bamboo, if I cut them not away, I cannot use you. The sun hid his face. A listening butterfly glided fearfully away. The bamboo shivered in turmoil and in terrible expectancy and whispering low, Master, cut away. Bamboo, bamboo, I would yet split you in two and cut out your heart. For if I cut not, I cannot use you. The bamboo bowed to the ground, Master, master, then cut and split. So did the master of the garden, took the bamboo and cut him down and hacked off his branches and stripped off his leaves and split him in two and cut out his heart. And lifted him gently, carried him to where there was a spring of fresh sparkling water in the midst of his dry field. Then putting one end of the broken bamboo in the spring and the other end into the water channel, in his field, the master laid down gently his beloved bamboo, and then spring sang, Welcome, and the clear sparkling waters raced joyously down the channel of bamboo's torn body into the waiting field. Then the rice was planted, and the days went by, and the shoots grew, and the harvest came. In that day, bamboo was once so glorious in his stately beauty, was yet more glorious in his brokenness and humility. For in his beauty, he was life abundant. But in his brokenness, he became the channel of abundant life to his master's world. Let's pray. Father, I love you.